Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie and Dennis Show.
Oh, podcast. You didn't let me do anything?
Podcast, dang. Episode 48,
if I'm not mistaken. More like the Dennis Show.
You know, we've actually thought about renaming this show.
Have we?
To Living with Natalie on Sati.
Oh my God, please.
Natalie's been on a binge of Martha Stewart content. You've been really enjoying watching Martha Stewart.
So listen, Martha Stewart was not a part of my generation, if that makes sense. Like growing up, I have this big ass knot in my hair, I just realized. Anyways, and I started watching her documentary and it was very fascinating.
She's the OG DIYer.
She is the OG DIYer. And I always remember my agent at the time would tell me that this one particular YouTuber was the Martha Stewart of the generation, and they were always looking for that person.
I think why Martha Stewart was like that inspiration for a lot of Hollywood people and LA agents and managers, everybody wanted their person to be like her, was because of how much product she would push.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, she has literally everything. The other day I went to Home Goods and like there's a whole Martha Stewart section.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, happy Friday.
Happy Friday,
I'm
Natalie.
I'm not Martha Stewart.
The show is now Living with Natalie. Rebranded. We're going to have to take that sign down.
No, but honestly, she is definitely a trailblazer. Like, it made me think a lot about how that one book that she created, it's called Entertaining. Mm. I've literally purchased two books since being obsessed with Martha Stewart. And so she talks about the simplicity of just the name, Entertaining. And so I was thinking about if I were to write a book, and if I were to do something like, you know, whatever. Anyways.
So for those of you that don't know who Martha Stewart is, just in case you're too young.
Oh my God, wait. Do you know who Martha Stewart
is? I don't
think
you know.
No, I don't know who she
is. Can you explain to Davi who Martha Stewart is?
She is basically this TV personality who started a show in her home. It's kind of like a barn. And she DIYs, she cooks, she bakes, she gardens, and
What years was those? 90s? 80s, 90s?
I think earlier. She's 86.
It's just como Oprah. Si usted conoce Oprah, es como más o menos como Oprah.
But she's 86 years old, so she's from a different generation. Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, I guess people don't know who Martha Stewart is. That's pretty wild. But anyways, happy Friday, everyone. I'm excited for today's podcast because I was not involved in the curation of it. So Dennis, what are some of the topics?
We're back to the basics, people. No more speaking in Spanish. No more, you know.
That was a fun episode.
Hyper-specific topics. It's more going back to the fun game show feeling, but a little bit more.
Because you listen to them.
Ranty. I feel like I want to talk more with you.
I love ranty podcasts, too, because if I'm like cooking or baking or whatever, I like to just listen in and not even really fully watch.
So you've pivoted from my Martha Stewart conversation twice now.
I have?
You've kind of pulled away, brought it back to the podcast.
Okay.
There is one thing that about Martha Stewart, goddamn that name, that sticks out to me. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that she went to jail.
Well, that's what I knew her for. That's why I never really looked into her much.
I want to know,
because she was spoken so low of,
if her going to jail has changed your opinion of her at all.
Well, before I knew of this documentary and got to see her full life story, I didn't really want to look more deeply into her because of that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because people would always be like, isn't that the lady that went to jail and did some illegal stuff? And I was like, I guess. I don't know. But I think it did kind of shift my perspective on her, because you get to see like the human side of things. And allegedly, she didn't do what she said she did. I don't know. So, I mean, that's a whole other thing.
I think, and this goes beyond just Martha. This goes to people with influence that go to jail, right? Or are punished.
Isn't P. Diddy going to jail?
That's beyond the scope of this podcast. I do not want to talk about that. That's different.
That's different, yeah.
I'm talking about cancel culture.
Mm.
I'm talking about punishment, like going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like we're at a point now where culturally being punished or being canceled actually makes someone cooler? Or
no, I've never seen it as that personally.
Okay.
What's the other option?
I mean, Martha kind of got the whole went to jail thing and then rode with it and then became friends with like Snoop Dogg and brought in like people within that scope of like, oh, that is cool to be punished, kind of.
Definitely not.
I feel like she did. She played it in like not in a serious tone.
Yeah, you have to play it in not a serious tone, because if you're on the show and she's like, I'm cutting celery. And you know that one interview she did where they were this basically a random lady, not a random lady, came into the interview and she started asking her hard questions about the legal situation.
As she was chopping lettuce.
And she kind of lost her cool. So in the future, as she was chopping lettuce, she's like, oh, let me not be so vicious with it. So you kind of have to play on that stuff. I think that happens a lot, actually. Mm. And it's a hard thing when you have to play down something that was really painful in your life. You know, like I noticed a few people do that with divorce, for example, where they're like, I don't know if the Kardashians have done this.
They play fun on their own experiences.
Where it's like, maybe third time's a charm. Maybe I'll get married and finally find someone.
I feel like before I mean like the 80s, 90s, maybe even early 2000s, mm-hmm. when someone with influence, political or social, committed something bad or actually did something wrong, it could be career altering. It could have ruined their public image. Totally. But nowadays, I think it's either you spin it as a positive PR somehow, or you ride it as some sort of clout that it brings more eyes somehow.
You know, maybe this kind of goes in line, maybe it doesn't, but I watched the documentary Quiet on Set about Nickelodeon and all the things. And so Drake Bell was one of the people involved in some really big things. And well, he was like a victim basically of it. Mm-hmm. And so he basically, in the legal things, his name was switched. Mm-hmm. And he did that back in the time so that it wouldn't affect his career. He felt like maybe he would be singled out, right? And I think that's really interesting because I'm kind of like spacing out today.
Try to bring it back. Let's get this into perspective. Come on. You got it. If not,
no, I felt a cramp rift. Come on. And then I was like, ow, that hurt. And then I was like, where was I going with it? Well, no, it was just about like image and how he thought that would impact. And what he said is that back in the time, there wasn't a lot of social media. You couldn't just tweet and be like, oh my God, we just saw Drake Bell go into this legal place, right? Yeah. But with Martha Stewart, it was the complete opposite, where it was the time of tech. So it became such a big public thing where, as you know, now more people know her for, well, not more people,
the incarceration.
But I feel like the younger generations kind of know her for that, because that's what I knew her for. So
times change and circumstances change. And that leads us into the first topic of the day. Romanticism, or the way that people go about romance, has changed throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And so the first topic is, what was considered romantic in the past that would absolutely not fly today? You know, one very brief example that I'm going to give you guys is the whole concept of throwing a little pebble at this girl's window at night to like let her know that you're outside.
Wait, I always remember the That's So Raven had an episode where her boyfriend goes out and has this like music box and is just like playing it from her window. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted that.
do you feel like that would be romantic now, or would that be creepy? Boyfriends, basically, there were shows where the boyfriend would climb a ladder and go into their fucking room through the window.
That is a little creepy, I think, nowadays.
Perspective changes throughout the years, and I think that that's now seen more as harassment as opposed to...
Well, it's kind of like what you were saying. Yes. Like, if a guy is very insistent, he likes a girl, and all of a sudden he's like knocking on her door.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, girls nowadays are like, why are you stalking me?
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of girlfriends who actually don't get picked up in their houses anymore. They get picked, like, they'll meet somewhere.
Yeah.
Where there's mutual. More people. Mutual. So that guy does not know where she lives. And they don't even give them their number. Like, they're communicating through other forms of...
Do you think,
Snapchat, Instagram.
Yeah, Snapchat, Instagram.
Do you guys feel like people are just not... Are more mistrusting?
Yes. I do think that. And I believe there are studies on that where as a generation, we not only do we not trust people a lot, but we also are more isolated. I mean, think about the last time you saw your neighbor. You probably hide and go into the house. You don't even want to say hello. Yeah, I don't
like interacting.
Right? Isn't that kind of sad? Like, yes. Neighbors used to give each other baking items and food.
Pie.
You know, I did that for Christmas. I baked a bunch of like pumpkin muffins and I went next door and I put it in like a cute little box and a ribbon and I just left it there. I was almost embarrassed to be like, hey, I brought you something. But I do remember those text messages. And everybody was like, that's so sweet. Like, nobody does that anymore. And it's true. We don't really engage in that
way. Right before this show, I was scrolling through Instagram just trying to like space out. And there was a sign, and these signs are new in colleges. Mm-hmm. It's a internet exchange site. Mm-hmm. So when you buy something on Craigslist or when you buy something off Facebook Marketplace, for example,
oh yeah,
you need to meet, right?
You do need to
meet. So you don't want to meet at your house, obviously, because you don't want this random person to just know where you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, privacy issues.
Yeah.
So there are new meetup spots where people exchange. And usually that place has a higher police officer, you know, route. Like there's more people there. A lot of people say exchanges should always be done at like police stations.
Mm-hmm. Are we all more paranoid or have we just learned that there's bad people out there that could harm you?
I think it's a little bit of multiple things.
I feel more paranoid. Like sometimes I'll have a random man, I don't know, let's say I'm at Target, just ask me a question. And I'm like, and I'm like, oh, and then he's just asking me a random ass question.
Yeah.
And I'm on edge, like he's going to do something to me. That's not a fun feeling. No, you know?
I think it is the interconnectivity between all of us with the internet. And we all know that there's pedos out there and like odd people. Mm-hmm. And we're just more informed. Also, there's a lot of fake news out there. And I think it kind of propagates that there's more people that have bad intention than there actually is also. So it's a little bit of both ways. Mm-hmm. And then I think we all are just too sheltered now and mistrusting.
Sheltered. Yikes. See, that's what I loved about Martha. I guess really going back to Martha, you know, she... In a time where women were going back to the workforce, she was like, no, let me actually make cooking elegant again, make hanging out with friends elegant, make cleaning your home a nice thing, you know? And I've been thinking a lot about my life and I've been thinking about how we used to live in Los Angeles.
Yes.
A city.
Yep.
I don't think I'd be happy there long term. Because my perspective on how I want to live my life has changed a lot. I'm no longer work, work, work. Who knows who? Let's go to this meeting. Let's go to that party. Let's meet this person, right? Let's make a collab. Let's like create this. Let's make more money. I'm no longer like that. I'm like, you know, today you were making eggs for us and you were like, we go through a lot of eggs. I was like, we need chickens. And you were like, okay. But I think I'm kind of going more that way. And in a way, my brand is as well, because I feel like Offline Humans, to me, that is the life that I want to live. That is the life that I think a lot of us would actually be happier living again, just like more simply, you know? You know how much I enjoyed myself on Sunday hanging out with our parents and like just cooking and just having a moment with everybody? And then I enjoyed like baking and just reading and having like a slow
day
weekend. Yeah, a slow day. Like not so
busy.
Not so busy. But also leads me to another point, which might be a little sidetracked, but you tell me. We've gained weight.
Again. Yes. The thing is, it's a balance, right? You're never going to be skinny forever. And you're never going to be chunky forever because you can change it up like really quickly. Mm-hmm. So I've gained a bit too much muscle and I don't like my physique right now. Like especially at the gym, it might look good, but in the everyday when I don't have a pump, I look a little too big in my eyes. And I like soccer and running too much and it counters that like what I want. You
That's
know?
The thing. The sports you're into don't give this body type.
It's giving rugby. It's giving football player. It's not giving soccer.
But you look really good.
Yeah, but for what I aim to do, it's different. It's too heavy.
I understand.
You want to climb.
I want to be light.
You want to climb.
I want to be climb. Yeah, I want to be lean.
It's true. It's true. No, I understand. But yeah, it was funny because the other day we were at Publix.
Yes.
And Dennis is always getting like 2-for-1s, like sodas.
For soda. Know? Yeah, like this Pepsi right here. But and it's
like,
zero sugar.
I feel like recently we have a lot of low sugar sodas. It's fun. Our fridge is full of them. And I've been looking at my legs in the mirror and I'm like, I have a little more cellulite than I remember. So then I'm telling Dennis, yeah. I'm like, handsome, you really have to stop buying soda because it's giving me cellulite. And then he's like, no, you've gained weight. And I started laughing because for me, weight is not a sensitive topic coming from you.
Yeah.
But if I was trying really hard right now and like, I don't know, your mom or somebody's like, you've gained weight, I feel like that's rude and it's stepping on toes, you know? But I was happy that you mentioned that because it was something I've been wanting to mention to us.
Yes.
When I look in the mirror, I notice that when I start to get chunky, it's like in my belly and in my arms.
When... We've done a lot of research in terms of weight loss, weight gain, and all of this.
Yeah.
And it kind of irked me when you blame soda specifically for weight gain. When we know now that it's calories and sugar and many more things, and you can't just blame one particular thing, right? So the seeing of the cellulite is weight gain. It's not the soda.
Okay, I think what influenced me is I saw this girl on Instagram.
Yes.
Who's like always putting pictures in like a thong, right? And so people are always commenting, oh my God, how do you not have cellulite? So she posted on her stories. She's like, I don't drink any soda. I don't touch it. And then that stayed in my head. So when we were grocery shopping and you said that,
it's influencers pushing fake.
But I just have to say, I took myself out in that moment. I was like, what if I was somebody just around shopping next to us and I heard you say, well, you just gained weight. Like, I feel like I'd be like, he's so rude to his wife.
So,
but you weren't. That's our dynamic is different.
That dynamic thing is kind of funny because it actually goes with the theme of the romanticism, right? Of like the past and the present.
Yeah.
Some other romantic topics that used to be cool that aren't, you know, this just doesn't work anymore. Just
but who
so
doesn't
we can
want
cover.
A guy to serenade you.
Okay.
That's
guys,
great.
Guys following girls to like their classes. And like,
ooh, that's creepy.
In school, like going and waiting for like them to get out of class.
It depends.
Some girls like being pursued.
No. If you like the guy, I remember that. And that was really cute. But maybe nowadays it is creepy. I don't know. What's up with these girls?
Okay. Another one is guys fighting over a girl. I guess that used to be like a romantic thing. Yes, to the death.
That's not cute.
I mean, before it was to the death, like a sword duel. Like,
that's not like cute.
On guard. And then they would like fight or like. But nowadays it's like fist fighting for a girl.
Ew, that's never been cute.
So when I was really young, my mom would always tell me it's never worth it to fight over a girl because like you could die. Like it's a thing. It's like a known thing.
Horrible.
There's so many like Mexican Hispanic music songs or like, oh, this guy fought for a girl, died, shot, stabbed.
Yeah, no, that's not.
Knocked down, hit his head dead because of some chick, you know? It's not romantic, first of all.
It's not.
For those of you that like seeing two guys fight over you, you got some issues because that's not romantic. Mm-mm. Secondly, the guys like...
But wait, why do I feel like Davi would like two girls fighting over him? Be honest.
That's different because two girls are different. I'm not going to fight for any girl.
I feel like he's over here visualizing.
Okay. I want to ask you guys a question first off.
He'd be that diva.
I want to ask you a question. There's two people fighting over you. Just because one of them wins the fight, does that mean you would go with that person?
That's true. That's like their...
I feel so much pressure in that moment.
Yeah, that's actually not cute because it's almost like they're not giving you an option.
What if the one you actually got knocked out?
Make the situation like you have two guys you like both and they fight for you.
What do you go with, the knocked out one or the one that's still awake?
Oh, what are you going to do if they start fighting?
Or you just walk away.
Yeah, you're with none. I don't like that. I would not be with a guy like that. I don't engage in that. I wouldn't.
Two guys fighting over you, you don't even like either one. Imagine.
That's whack.
If I had two chicks fighting over me, honestly, like, it doesn't matter who would win. It wouldn't be more like, oh, who are you attached to in the first place? Like, you can't be attached to both. Like, you gotta love one. Maybe you're attracted to the other, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's an interesting one.
So I would, if the one I like got knocked out, man, I'd have to pick her up.
You'd have to pick her up.
Take her to the hospital, flick off the other one. Like, why the hell you hurt her? Like, I don't know. No, you say, con la que se enoja o con la que ganó.
For real, I don't know. I think I'm gonna help the Gary's knockout, but
you're gonna grab her like that and then the other one like that.
You walk out with both of them, both black eyes. Both of them have black eyes. You just walk out.
No, that's definitely not romantic. What else was on that
list? Okay, so it was people fighting over like someone, like we had said, a duel, The Rock hitting the window. And then forceful kissing or forcing yourself upon someone. That might have been romantic.
Let me think about that. Did that ever happen to me?
So way back, you know, 007?
Yeah.
So he had a lot of movies where either the woman would forcefully throw herself at him.
How would they throw themselves?
Or he would forcefully impose himself on women. You know? So it's very much like they're at a bar, they go somewhere, and then he like grabs her hair and like kisses her. Yeah, right? Yeah. And then she might have like this look of like, ew, gross. But then it kind of like changes into like the, oh, yeah. And then they like get into like the making out. Like, why? Like that was very common in movies back then.
That was very common. Yeah. They would almost like bring up the like sexual tension. And then it's like something happened.
I think it's like a masculinity thing. I think it's like a, oh, he dominated her.
I think I can never do that.
You would never do that.
Like I like going to somebody and grab it is robarle un pico, no sería capaz.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever experienced either.
I've never experienced that.
But you know what I have experienced that is so messed up? Mm. People used to do this in middle school. They'd slap girls' butts.
Oh, yeah, you brought that up before.
Do you know how much that would piss you off?
You know, like, in a sense, it's the same kind of thing. Yeah.
And that was like seen as normal. I would get so mad at those guys, they would never talk to me again. The way I would seriously embarrass the shit out of them.
Wow.
Because you don't touch me.
It's the same energy. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's like imposing, being
that's actually
that masculinity.
Nasty
like
and
that.
Not
yeah.
cute. No.
In middle school, they le bajan los pantalones a un.
Oh, I remember that happened to me. Yeah. That happened to me too.
Oh, God.
Usted nunca vio alguien? Did you ever see someone who got their boxers pulled down
too?
Oh. No.
That's
crazy.
That shit is so
fun. They just grab everything and just pull.
That sounds funny, but that's embarrassing.
Well, anyways.
So that's not romantic either.
You know, there was always like that popular guy in school who'd pull in the chicks. But it wouldn't always mean that he was a good guy.
I know. You're so right.
Right.
You know what the worst part is? When he would end up dating his ex-girlfriend's best friend. That would happen a lot. That would happen a lot. Didn't you ask me that? Was that on the podcast where you were like, what do you say when your girl asks you, do you think my best friend is attractive?
Yeah.
Did you ask me on the podcast?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Not yet. Or maybe I did last time. I don't know.
I don't remember. What's the right answer for that? You were
She's
saying.
She's not my type.
She's not my type.
Yeah. That's the correct answer to avoid confrontation with your partner.
But you know what I think? I do think that like, you can kind of tell if you think, you can tell if your partner thinks someone's attractive.
Mm.
And why be oblivious and be like, she's not my type. Like, I almost think that's weirder.
It depends on how you say it, too. You can't be like, she's not my type. Like the way you said it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she's just not my type. Like, it's just
but
different.
I think it's okay, personally. Like, let's just say, I think it's better to be like, oh, yeah, she's like, she's pretty. You know? No, you don't think so? So you've lied to me?
No, and you've never asked who and if I think anyone is pretty. You surround yourself with unattractive people, okay? Let's just say that.
Oh my God.
I have high standards for women. You think I just think anybody's pretty?
But okay, here's one thing about Dennis. He thinks a lot of people are ugly, and that's messed up. I tell him you have to see the beauty in people.
Uh-uh. That's just me. I attractiveness to me is a certain thing, and like I have to, you know. Whatever. Okay. The point is that's what you're saying now. But if I were to say, oh, that Here's friend of yours, blah, 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 she's so pretty.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like that. Trust me.
No. I wouldn't like, if I asked you, hey, but to be honest.
Also, why would you ask me?
I don't think I would ask you. I think if
it depends.
I think but here's the reality. Like, you're going to find other women attractive. There's nothing wrong with that. If you then act on that, that's where obviously we have a problem, you know, but I don't think there's anything wrong with you saying she's attractive or the only thing I'm not that comfortable with, to be honest, if you're like, damn, she's sexy or like something like that is going to make me uncomfortable, you know?
Have you ever,
it's like, what eyes are you looking at her with?
David, have you ever been put in that situation donde una novia le pregunta, oh, what do you think of?
Yeah, eso.
And then what happened?
Situation.
What happened?
No, I just saying I don't see her with the eyes. She's just my friend.
Oh, I see her with no eyes.
I don't
eyes.
See her with the
eyes. With that eyes, like you.
Yeah.
With that type of eyes.
Yes. So that's a different. That's the same way of saying she's not my type. It's like similar.
Sure. Yeah, I do think when you ask the question, it's a little probey. Like it's a little bit like why? Like why are you asking?
Because women like to fight.
Yeah, it's almost like you want
to insinuate and you want to begin a problem.
Yeah.
Don't clip the women like to fight thing. I didn't mean it in that way. I feel like the listeners might think that I think that, but no, like actually maybe. Now that I think about it, I don't know. The point is there's questions in relationships that, you know, once you start a conversation, it's going to lead to an issue.
But I would hope not, because I also think, I don't know,
and under what circumstances would you ask me if I find anyone attractive?
I know, for example, because this used to happen a lot with my mom and my dad. And I think my mom was a really great example of this. She's always been very confident. And so whenever we were watching Miss Universe, like,
oh,
hello,
but that's different. That's
about
a fucking competition.
You know?
Yeah.
So then my mom would be like, uy, no, ya está muy bonita. My dad's like, sí, sí, tiene piernas muy bonita, pero está muy flaca. Acá. Or like, you know, they would start talking. Yeah. And I think that is a good type of like chemistry of openness, because you're not just blind to things.
My dad and my mom are like that.
Yeah, because you're not just.
Ellos llegan y alguien en la panadería que se ve, pues, bien. Y yo empiezan a hablar, uy, dale las piernas. Y dale como tiene los...
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's in person. I'm talking Miss Universe.
No, you know what
pageant.
I think? No, you know why I think? Because maybe like your dad used to do like bodybuilding. So they really appreciate bodies. I think that's another way of, you know, looking at it.
Bodybuilder couples, like muscle mommies and bodybuilder dudes. I don't know what. What would that even mean?
Named? Daddies.
Daddies. They're odd couples.
Really?
They're a little weird.
Why?
Because like, you know, I go to the gym a lot, but I'm not obsessed with physiques. Do you understand?
Okay.
I don't follow bodybuilders.
But why is that a bad thing?
I think that there's a certain
like
obsession.
That.
You're like that, Debbie?
I follow a lot of bodybuilders.
Yeah. But what's bad about that?
No, it's kind of odd when both people in the couple obsess over bodies, because then it does become, oh, he's built, but his traps aren't big, or his deltoids could use some work, or like whatever.
Well, maybe because we have never really experienced that in our relationship, you think that might be weird, but maybe
like
it's
critiquing
not
bodies. It's kind of,
I get it. I don't think it's our personality to do that, but I don't think it could be that odd.
I never critique like the body of someone. I usually talk more personality, like, oh, they are odd in a certain way of being, or like I like how nice they are, I like how, you know, certain things. I don't know, I've never judged people based on like their chest could be bigger, like
I don't
in terms
know
of
why,
weightlifting.
But I just I remember this very particular moment. It was the first time I introduced Dennis to my family in Chicago. So we were at my cousin's husband's like friend group, so it was a bunch of guys in the kitchen. Just think of a bunch of Mexican guys, because they're Mexican, right? So they were like,
I remember this.
Dennis, yo, be honest with me, what was the first thing you saw about Natalie, right? So then Dennis, he's like, her face. And they're like, you didn't look at her ass, or you didn't look at this. Because then they asked about Daniela, and they were like, Carlos was like, no, I saw her ass first, then I looked at her face. But it was funny, because you really are like that. You're more of a face person, I've realized. I don't know why we're getting into this conversation. Not about ass and boobs, and like now we're gonna be like, is he a tits guy? Or
I'm neither.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not but a body type person. Right, I'm more of
let's go back to the other questions.
I think there's women who are just pretty. I don't know how to explain it. When you were when I saw you, I thought you were very pretty.
Yeah.
And that caught my attention.
Yeah.
And I was being very honest. I feel like they would have said.
You were being honest.
I feel like they would have said.
That's why.
I was lying because I was put on the spot. But I wasn't lying.
I know you weren't lying.
Yeah. I was being very honest about it. I remember
that. And it was the first time I was around like so many guys that were just like so confident that there can't be a guy out there like that, where that isn't the first thing you see. You know what I mean? Anyways,
I brought up the topic of the popular guy in high school. Everybody wants to be with him, but then he's not good.
They are, sorry, some of them that I've met, not very intellectual.
Yes.
Always partying. I mean, but it depends. Some girls are into those guys. I was never into those guys. So I think that that's also.
Are there girls that are into dumbasses?
Yes. Yes. And yes. There are.
So that leads into the next topic. What's an example of just because it's popular doesn't mean it's good?
Ooh. I feel like a lot of alterations to your face. I just thought about that.
Botox?
Yeah. Like, tell me how. I don't really care. I don't think if you're 20, you should be getting Botox. Like, why?
That is true.
Like, I think that it's become so normal. To like, okay, it's up to you, obviously, to each their own. I'm just saying, for me, like, you're 20 years old. What are you trying
to fix?
What's the wrinkle? Like, you're gonna age. You have to accept that. That's a part of life, you know. And it's okay. And then some women are like, but I want to be able to age gracefully, or this and that. But I do think cosmetic type of things have become too popularized and seen as too normal.
Well, in the list, one that I found that was very interesting was pranks, right?
Pranks.
I feel like the nature of pranks before were more...
harsh.
No, were less. No. Like, way back, like, pranks were just funny. Like, everybody at the end of the situation had a laugh. It wasn't too hard on anyone. And then recently it's become like a social experiment bullshit where it's for, like, views. And it became a social media thing. And then pranks became like, oh, the bigger and the wilder and like all of this stuff, right? When before pranks, you just I don't know, electric pen where you just press it. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, whatever.
Can I just say that is not funny? Okay. When people would do that to me, I would get very upset.
But they wouldn't record it. It wasn't like a thing.
No, but that's even more. Like, that's kind of worse. It's like, you just hurt me.
Well, there used to be a YouTube show and a channel on TV. It was a program called Just for Laughs. Or like
America's Funniest Home Videos.
America's Funniest Home Videos. It was also Risas en Vacaciones. It was an old movie. Right?
Yeah.
But they weren't bad, you know? And it was just whatever. But now it's like, oh, going into the hood and fixing people's pants. Have you seen that one?
What do you mean?
It's awful.
What do you mean fixing?
Okay. So there's one guy on Facebook goes into like the hood.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And so there's people who have their pants really saggy. Uh-huh. Right? So he'll go up to strangers who have saggy pants and pull their pants up.
Mm-mm, that's an invasion of privacy, right?
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. But he's looking for a reaction. So I think.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up. And I also think, like, if you put people on the internet.
And what was their reaction?
Lo seguían para cascarlo. They would. Yeah, so it would provoke a fight. But you see how we're laughing? Or like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like ridiculous. Funny, it's gotten ridiculous.
Laughing in that situation.
So pranks, you know, like, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's good. Don't go pranking people. You get your ass beat.
Yeah,
don't
do that.
And then nowadays also is just influencers.
Tell me about that one. I was interested in that.
So. Let's say you're on TikTok and then you find someone and they have 3 million followers. And then you find someone else and they have 500K. Does that necessarily mean that the person with 3 million is a better influence?
No.
Or a better creator or a better anything?
No, not at all. But I don't think that's what they were trying to say. What was their argument about why?
No, that's what it was. So that also influencers, just because someone is popular, doesn't mean that they're good.
I understand.
For everyone, for like society or whatever.
Yeah. But also, who determines that? I don't like that. I don't like those arguments. I was talking to someone And they basically were like, you know, I would never do influencing until I felt like I had something important to say. Yeah. And like, what's with that type of pressure? Like, it's all about creating. Life should be fun and creative, and you don't need to feel like everything you're going to say needs to move a needle or be some sort of movement. That's just my personal stance on it. And I also feel like when somebody says that, it's basically saying that a lot of people shouldn't be doing what they're doing because they're not making an impact, you know? And we start to cross a little bit of areas where people get upset, like when they say that influencers should be speaking on political topics,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
Where
yep.
It's like, why? When we are not educated enough. So yes. Now you want to give us a platform to speak on something that could really shift and alter other people's opinions when you're not very educated in that topic.
There's a topic there's the next question after this goes into that. And it's like you understanding or knowing whether someone is intelligent or not and what goes with that. One of the answers to that is kind of going into conversations or topics without really knowing too much about it, mm-hmm. right? Shows that there's a lack of intellect with someone. I think it takes a lot, especially as someone with a large platform, to say, I don't know enough about this. I don't feel comfortable talking about it, right? Or I need to go inform myself about it first. But some of us also want to avoid informing ourselves about certain things because it just doesn't sit right with us, you know? Mm-hmm. Not everyone is worldly like that.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
So if I'm an influencer who does finger painting, mm-hmm. why would I give my topic on a world event? I'm not going to name anything, but like a world event that's like currently going on that everybody wants a response from her for some reason. Mm-hmm. Chick just is finger painting, you know, like that. Why do we need to know what she thinks?
So then the counter argument to that is you are very privileged because the fact that you get to sit on the sidelines and just listen and not vocalize for the people that don't have a voice is ignorance. And I see both sides.
Sometimes people just need to admit that they are privileged. Mm-hmm. Privilege isn't.
That's true.
Isn't a bad thing. You know, and just because you are in a good situation, are you supposed to feel bad? You know, mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I finger paint for a living. This is my real life. And I am very privileged to be able to do this and not have to acknowledge what's going on in the world. I just don't like that kind of stuff. It makes me feel bad. I know things happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my world revolves around finger painting.
I do think we'll have really strong opinions on this. And I would actually love to know what you really think about this topic. Like, should influencers be forced to speak on a topic that's very worldly and current or not?
I.
But what do you think? So were they talking about self-worth in numbers? Because I do think people give others more importance when they know how many followers they have. Which is why I oftentimes will lie about what I do because I don't want, because here's the thing. My life is on the internet, right? If you know about me, I don't know what I get to hide now from you. Whereas when I meet a stranger, I get to pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And that feels like power to me. I don't always want you to know I don't know.
Who you are.
Yeah. Like sometimes I don't want that.
You know, Dave Chappelle, he's like a comedian. Uh-huh. He had a really funny skit where something happened. It was like something. Mm-hmm. And then, he had a joke where he was like, oh, I need to ask Ja Rule about his opinion on this. Get me Ja on the phone right now. What he was trying to say with that comedy skit was who the fuck cares what Ja Rule thinks about this topic. It's like people are pulling out like, oh, what does Charli D'Amelio think about that? Like, who the fuck cares? Like what they like, first of all, they're not. Geopolitics is very complicated. No one understands what's going on. And there's ulterior motives to wars and things going on. It's way too complex for one person to just know everything on all sides, on all fronts. It's like it's too complicated. Mm-hmm. You'd literally have to have a degree in like, you know, Middle Eastern conflicts to really understand what's going on and like way back how it even started.
Yes. I'd love to move away from this topic because I feel like we basically gave what our opinion and stance is on this. However, I feel like the question, which can you reiterate it about influencers?
It was a very basic topic. It was just because it's popular doesn't mean it's good.
So influencers.
I literally just have influencers.
Yeah. And I'm trying to understand why they.
That was what someone wrote. They believed that mm-hmm. influencer just because they're popular doesn't mean that they're good.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. Now I understand the full
scale. And along with that, we went with mm-hmm. it led into, you that know, stuff,
yeah.
dipping into information about the world and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, another one, right, that's just very obviously popular is like fast food chains like Starbucks or McDonald's are very popular, but doesn't mean that they're good for you. You know, popularity right now is weird because you could be very popular, but have a very negative impact on the world or negative views or negative anything.
But okay, maybe because now in this current moment, I'm on Martha's store again, yeah. where it's like everything natural, raise your own food, your cattle, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of food is bad.
Yes.
Technically.
Popular food tends to be bad.
Like, we don't really eat a lot of fresh food
uh-huh.
where you see the cattle, it gets killed, and then you eat it.
It's also like the ease of getting something. Yes. Like, are you really going to go through the trouble of buying a cow to raise it, to kill it, to get the meat?
The thing is, I don't even have that in me. What's the word? What is this life?
Sheltered. Privileged.
Sheltered.
Privileged.
No, that's not where ignorant. I wanted to. Damn. Shit. No. Like this, I guess, future life. I'm so in this that I wouldn't even know how to have the heart to start doing that. And that
modernized.
I have no human skill.
Girl, if someone skill. Asked me to make
you have to learn because if I you if you you can't send somebody to kill a cow and you know how much meat you have, like for a month. More.
Speaking el niño del pueblito.
Let me tell you. Okay.
David, have you done that before?
I see how somebody.
Oof. Is this so rough? Or are you used to it?
No, I just see it, you know.
You're used to it?
No, yo nunca lo he hecho.
No, I know you've never done it. But like for you, because in Colombia, I feel like it's more normal.
I saw a pig get killed.
Yeah.
But you're American.
And it was awful.
That's why.
I don't think people see animals get killed in Colombia on a daily basis.
No, not like that. What I try to, it's more normal. Like it's more of a culture thing. No,
yes
and no.
In December, so many people kill cows and kill pigs just for, you know, share with the family and just food and un marrano para todos, una fritanga, una lechona.
Can I just say something actually really interesting? I would say that our cultures aren't different. The U.S. also produces a lot of food.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Right? You're right.
It's just
you're right.
The levels of scale and how close to home does that person get, the one that does the killing, right? So, yeah, you might have an uncle that's a butcher in Colombia.
I do.
That, like, because you do, that will be the one that, like, does it. Mm-hmm. Or he has a friend that does that. How many hands does the Tyson chicken I eat go through before it gets to me?
Machines. Right?
Like it goes through a shit ton of machines in Arkansas and then gets loaded into a truck that's driven by a man who takes it to the whatever Walmart center and then it gets distributed across the nation and then it goes into a bag and then it comes to me. So there's way more steps.
Yeah.
But I actually believe the scale of killing animals here must be larger. We just don't see it and we're protected from it. Totally. We don't see that stuff.
No. I guess it's a hard balance. A part of me wants to kind of live that life.
The naturalistic thing. The
natural life.
Yeah.
But a part of me is way too...
Leaving
I'm
the
too
future.
I'm too much of a bitch to kill anything, honestly.
No, I'm not strong enough to do it. I don't want to kill. I don't think I could fathom that at this point. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I just killed like a keychain one day.
A what?
A una gallina la maté yo.
Oh, sí. Uy, así, David. Was it horrible?
That was hard. Fue muy difícil matarla.
No, not the hard, the killing it. The hard, like,
That's what mentally. He's saying.
No, él dice que fue difícil matarla. Yeah. No que fue difícil mentalmente matarla.
That means saying it was hard to actually get kill the chicken and die.
Mentally hard.
Oh my lord.
Usted no le afectó mentalmente nada.
In the first try, I say, no, I can't. And like the worker on my dad say, do it.
What you mean you can?
Did he have teeth?
I'm just kidding. The worker? What are you talking about? Why do you envision someone with no teeth? That's so odd.
So I do it so hard and popping and la gallina puculio y ya. Yo, just kill a kitchen.
Chicken.
A chicken.
Kitchen is una cocina.
Oh, I just kill a kitchen.
Chicken.
Chicken.
I can't do it.
I can't do it either.
I feel bad killing anything but cockroaches, to be honest with you. You can't even kill cockroaches.
No. I can't.
What is cockroaches?
A cucaracha.
Cucaracha.
Anyways, you know, living out in nature, I think it requires a certain level of intelligence.
It
and
does,
understanding.
For yeah. sure.
Worldly curiosity.
And other things.
That leads us to our final topic. What's one subtle sign of low intelligence? Do you believe like you surround yourself with people of high intelligence, or is there the occasional dumbass that you kind of like, oh, he's dumb. Like, you know it, but you're not going to say it. You're like, oh, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, no, I don't think, I'm not a lot around a lot of people.
Okay.
So I almost feel like, what I consume, I try to.
Come on.
No, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing about, I guess, life is I feel like everybody forces you to speak so fast. It's like, let me take a pause.
Okay.
You know?
I was just trying to help. I was saying,
No. I'm just saying. Yeah. So I try to see podcasts, read books of people that I think are intellectual, but only because of the interests, right? Like right now I'm really into gardening and like roses. How do you do that type stuff and grow your own food and stuff like that? So I'm learning through that. But also, who's to say that if you know more about this, that makes you more intellectual? Like sometimes the whole IQ exams and all that stuff is very lame to me because it's just facts. No, what is it? Tell me.
I think it goes beyond that. An IQ exam also does critical thinking, problem solving. There's a lot more to IQ tests than just simply knowing facts. It's not going to say, what's the tallest tree in the world? Mm. It's going to be like, this situation is going on. How do you solve it?
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, that's an IQ test.
I didn't realize that.
So it's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Problem solving. There's sometimes answers to things that are so deep that you'd have to really ponder on it. Like, how do I really get out of this situation?
What do you think makes somebody intelligent and somebody not? Because I think that you are more intelligent than I am, for example.
I think just curiosity.
Depends the comments they apport to a conversation.
So, okay, Kent, let's ask each other. What is a direct correlation to intellect? What do you think is important for someone to be intellectual?
For me, it's more like emotional intelligence. If somebody's immature, mm-hmm. I kind of already see them as
nice,
not very intelligent, but that's my perspective, right? Whereas somebody else who's more book smart is going to be like, oh my God, he knows about everything, you know? So,
David, ¿usted qué opina? What en la inteligencia, qué van eso?
I think, like I'm saying before, is if we are in a conversation and like, I want to see how is the IQ of the people, like just. You just start a conversation and it's depending what comments apport to this conversation. I say, this is a dumb or this is a, he know about what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say there's a group of 10 people. How do you find who the dumbass is?
But that's what I'm saying. For me, it's more, how do you carry yourself? Yeah, how do like, you treat others? Ella dice como
que se comporta inmaduro, ¿no?
Yeah.
Yes.
But does immaturity really go hand in hand with intellect?
Like what I'm saying is,
I understand you, though. I wanted to say I'm just also challenging a little bit.
I mean, for me, it's just, for me, it's a lot of like mannerisms and the way that you see the world, because I think that you really project your beliefs and what you know about life. Like, for example, if you go over to somebody's house and you maybe don't know a lot about their culture and you do something disrespectful, to me, that's a little bit like, ooh, that wasn't very smart. Like, why wouldn't you?
So it seems like your example.
I did that?
Why you do that? It seems like your definition of intellect is different.
It's different.
From mine.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a different type of thing. Yeah. It's more how you. Yeah, it's emotional intelligence is a part of
it. For me, it's curiosity. Mm. To me, someone who is very curious about how the world works and wants to know as much info about as many things as possible, that's intellectual. Mm. So, you know.
Who's somebody that is intellectual to you, for example?
Damn.
I know someone that you think.
Who?
But I forgot his name.
Okay.
Andrew too. Andrew D.
And you know, this kind of goes along with the topic that we had last podcast about mastery of one thing versus many things. Mm-hmm. You know, just because someone's a welder and knows everything about welding, like you said, doesn't mean that they're necessarily high IQ level of everything. They're just really great welders.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But just because you're a welder, does that mean that are you open to a conversation about spaceships?
But that's where I was going with it. See, for you, who's that guy that is, I have a book, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
He is someone that I think you would think is very intellectual, very smart. But that's a different type of intellect. Whereas for me, it would be like a Martha Stewart or an Oprah Winfrey or a Sarah Blakely.
But Martha is very intellectual. Let's break down Martha Stewart, okay?
Yeah, she is very intellectual.
She is great at gardening, cooking, all sorts of stuff.
She's eloquent.
But she's
also an influencer. Yes.
She is very good at getting her skills business. And then promoting it, putting it out there. Media company.
She's also
a business person. She runs a company.
Yeah.
So she's multifaceted, different intellects in different places. And she's open to changing from magazine to digital. Mm-hmm. She's open-minded. That's intellectual. That, to me, is very, 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 very intellectual.
Actually, her biggest personality trait, she likes to say, is curiosity. That she's always curious about things.
There you go. Curiosity.
Yeah. And so, Dennis is intellectual.
So for me, like, okay. If I started telling you about how... So I heard a garbage truck go by. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, I wonder how garbage collection works. Where do they go? How do they get rid of garbage? Do they burn it? Do they bury it? Is there somewhere specific to go? And let's say I start conversation with you about garbage collection and you are
not interested. Yeah.
To me, that's a lack of intellect because you are not willing to take in information just because it simply doesn't suit you or it doesn't matter to you.
That's really interesting. But also I would have to...
You can disagree.
Yeah. Argue that point because I also feel that we all have different interests. So like you might not be so interested in how, let's say, a makeup product is created or something of that nature. Are you interested in composting?
I would be... If you sat me down, let's say we're having dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I've learned so much about the world of makeup just because of your beauty videos.
Okay.
And because of research for hacks and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I've ever been opposed to it. I don't think I ever said, Natalie, I don't want to learn about mascara. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't think I've ever told you no to anything. I think I've always been like, let me check that out. Let me research that. Let me figure out how to do Shopify.
Okay, partially.
So I think shutting down an entire branch of like a particular thing like makeup just because I don't want to learn about it is kind of harsh.
So I want to, because we've never really spoken about this, because I know I tend to do that more. Mm-hmm. But I still think I'm an intellectual person because even if you look at my whole range of library and books and all the things I've ever been very interested in.
Yes.
I would say that is intellect. But I also understand that if you were to bring up that garbage can topic, I would be bored out of my mind.
Okay. I'm going to say one thing that will end this topic very quickly. Mm. So as we all know, lots of different phones have lots of different chargers. There's USB-C, USB-A, USB micro, you know, different types of attachments for different phones, for different purposes, different wattage, different charge rates. I've tried so hard to tell Natalie, oh, USB-C is for Androids and lightning cables are for Apple phones. It directly impacts your everyday. You need to know how wires charge your phone. You bring a pair of headphones. What the fuck's the wire for this thing? I have to go and look for it, right?
But I've I don't tried. Think that's not that you're intellectual. That's where I think you go wrong in that. Because that's just something I'm not interested in.
But it affects your everyday. And just by simply taking the time to learn what is a USB-C and what's the difference between that and a lightning cable.
Every year, I cannot keep up.
So you're going to be left behind. You're going to be some old archaic lady that doesn't understand technology.
I want to be her.
You got to keep up with the times.
I want to be an old archaic lady.
Look, Martha Stewart ended up being the whole topic of today, was one of the first people to sell product online at MarthaStewart.com. We saw it inside the thing. It's important to keep up with the times.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you're right.
It's like if we hated on TikTok and never would have made a TikTok, we would be, you know.
And we kind of did.
TikTok-less.
The thing is, I think it's a personality trait of mine to go against the curve for a little bit. And that's kind of scary because my dad is like that. You know, I just realized I'm like him in many ways.
Mm.
Yikes.
Contrarian. That's a word. Contrarian.
Yep.
How do you stay? Do you like learning new things? Do you like starting conversations?
Yes, I like starting conversation and learn new things. Yes.
No, he's very curious.
If si yo le fuera a enseñar like how to fix your car, like something in the car, like a mechanical issue.
I love it to hear you.
Okay. What about you, Natalie?
Not so much, to be honest.
What are topics and conversations that would spark interest in you?
I would love to learn about a lot of like survival things.
That's
like,
cool.
Like, that's cool.
Like how do I wait, you guys aren't gonna think this is cool. Like,
no fogata.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I wanna learn too how to do that.
But also like how do you store your food and like how do you do preserves, all that stuff. You know what I mean?
You know, in Colombia they used to dig, make holes and put food in the ground.
But like going about it. For me, I'm also very like I have to touch and do to learn. So I'd have to actually do that, you know?
So what's one subtle sign of low intelligence? This is what people wrote. If it's never happened to me, it's not true. That's something that a person with low intellect would say.
That's just ignorance.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
A lack of curiosity or a lack of resourcefulness.
Yep.
Never admitting you don't know something.
Ooh, yeah, that's a big one.
And then not revising your beliefs when presented with information that might alter them. Let's talk about that one. Right? I feel like sometimes we can be very close to things, and when presented with facts, we're not willing to pivot.
Because I think a lot of us are afraid of change as well, you know? I don't know why this came to my mind, but like I'm thinking about what if all of a sudden we're like, oh, making a home would be much better for us. Would we go about selling this house or renting it? Like that's a big move.
I would need to be presented.
No, that's what I'm
with
saying.
The information.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're past that fact. That would still be a very hard decision.
If
because we are like where we live, the comfort of what we do, our routines, our shops around.
I think it's hard when you have a belief for a long time that isn't being challenged, right? Then it feels that you guys have watched Lord of the Rings, how the little guy is like my precious to the ring.
Oh, yes.
I feel like the ring is a belief, and I feel like the longer you've had that belief, the harder you want to grasp onto it. And it's, you don't want someone to prove it wrong. Right.
You want someone.
You don't want someone to prove it wrong because you really want to believe whatever.
Isn't life just made up of beliefs, though? If you think about it, like what really is marriage?
Yeah.
Like totally. It's a belief that you have to be with one person forever.
Monogamy.
Yeah. But like. Maybe that's not, you know,
but that is like a social,
yeah.
thing.
But I think structure. Also it would kind of go with like religion and like there's so many things. Like I think life is belief.
Let me tell you, I don't believe in UFOs or, you know, possibly there's life out there, but I don't think they've ever been here. But if I fucking see an alien or a UFO, you better believe I'm gonna change my mentality real quick, right? Like It's a biblical thing too.
But then
my mom would always say that I'm that way. There was a chapter in the Bible where someone didn't believe something and asked for them to present
for
him
a sign,
a something like that something holy
and
was going on.
What did they say?
And he said that I would only believe it if I see it with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. That it's a saying to this day, you know. I'm kind of like that. I need to be presented information, you know. Even I do believe in gut feelings, but I also do believe that if I'm presented, if I believe, let's say, for example, this microphone's fucking awesome and someone says, no, it's ass. And then they tell me why, I'm like, okay, it's ass. So I'll believe that.
So I guess, and this might be a little too personal, but, you know, faith is something that you don't really see. It's more something that like you feel.
Yeah.
And there was a really great quote. I couldn't find it, but this was kind of similar. It says, faith consists in believing what is beyond the power of reason to believe. And that really is faith as well.
Uh-huh.
And that's a hard one for you.
Why?
Because you struggle with your faith.
I don't struggle with my faith. I'm very firm in what I believe.
But why? Because you've never seen it.
Oh, well...
That's why.
I'm just not very, I'm just not a very religious person.
But then go back to the quote about what is a low IQ. It's somebody that says that if they can't see it, they don't believe it.
Let me tell you, if you present something to me that would make me change my mind towards a belief,
but isn't
I would
that
change.
That?
No.
What did that person say?
You need to be presented the information in order to change.
No, there was another one in there.
It was
here, let me read it.
Never admitting you don't know something.
Until you see it.
No, never admitting you don't know something. Not revising your beliefs when presented with information that might alter them.
Let me see. There was something in there.
What are your thoughts?
It never happened to me, so it's not true. That is this. Because faith is...
It's conflicting.
No, and that's fine. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just saying that
yes.
reminds me of
the fourth point and the second point.
Go together.
Because one is, it's never happened to me.
The other one is, tell me the facts.
And the other one is, tell me the facts. Right? Present information to me. Right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean, am I low intellect because
no.
I don't want to believe things until I see them?
No.
I mean, maybe. Who knows?
No.
It does go.
I just don't believe that. That phrase in itself, you're low intellect because of whatever. I don't really believe
but
that.
But when you don't see things, you have to believe in them. Me hago entender, es como si hasta que usted no lo vea, no lo cree, no sé, porque yo creo en Dios y yo nunca lo he visto.
But what does that say? It means you guys are people of faith.
Faith,
the word faith is believing in something without information or just because of a feeling or an idea or whatever you feel. I lack faith. Mm-hmm. I lack faith because I need more substance to go along with it for me to believe that there's something there. Mm-hmm. If I hear a knock at the door, I know that there's someone at the door.
Yes.
Right? If no one knocked, would I have known that there's someone there? Or do I have to have faith that there's someone there? You know, I'm not going to know until someone knocks. And then I connect things like there's someone behind
there. It. Yeah. I don't know why that reminds me of this atheist guy who wrote this beautiful, beautiful letter to his daughter who passed away. She was only like a few months old. And he said that he never believed in God. He never felt God, nothing. And that the moment he saw the little casket going down, he realized like there has to be more. Like what was her purpose? Like where is she? Like she wasn't just here for like a split
she was
moment.
A fleeting moment and
she wasn't
and
a fleeting
everything
moment.
Yeah, no, in his mind she will bear weight and she will be there for longer. In him, she built a purpose and in an emotional way to him, maybe he changed.
Well, that moment made him just have a moment of like there's more out there, you know. And I wonder what your moment will be if you
there
ever...
will not be a moment for me. I'm sorry guys. I want to be honest. I don't want to sugarcoat. I don't want to lie. I don't want to. It is just me.
I've always wondered, but maybe this is behind closed doors.
No, don't we? If you want to ask something, I'm very
open. Everyone
have things.
Opinion. And
yeah.
Yeah. You know? No, I think this has been a great podcast.
Well, anyways, We're moving into the next segment, and it's Dennis's fun facts of the week. I don't have my sound thing here. Do you want to put this?
I got you, man. I'm over here for you.
Yes, go ahead.
What do you want? It's any scary? Sound.
No, not scary. Just fun. Fun.
Scary.
It could even be our theme song. I don't care. It's fine. Yeah. So, the governor of Alabama, he found out his wife had cancer. Mm. She didn't know because he didn't tell her.
Wait, say that one more time. The governor of Alabama found out
Wife had cancer, but she didn't know because he didn't tell her.
Why did she not know her own
doctors
diagnosis?
Back then only told the husband information. I thought that was very interesting about gatekeeping information from the wife.
What a lack of your own your own life.
Yeah, I thought that was very powerful intriguing, and so I wanted to talk about that with you. Usually our Dennis's fun facts lead into deeper conversations.
That's sad.
Isn't it crazy to believe that the husband deserved more of a right to know
what was happening with
what
her
was going
body,
on with
yeah.
her?
That's really sad. Had to be Alabama.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think it's really sad, and it goes to show the lack of control that women had over their own bodies.
Do you?
And just in general.
Have you guys ever known something before someone else? A piece of knowledge that you know once that person knows it's going to alter their life, and you feel like you have to tell them? Has that, ever been on you? Usted sepa algo que de alguien y ellos no saben. And you know, when you tell them, it's like...
Yeah.
I'm not the type of person can tell them.
It's never happened to me, but I feel like that would be so much pressure. Like, if I knew one of my parents had, a health issue, and I'm in the office and they didn't understand it, the doctor told me to translate it to them.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
What happened to Sabina? Everyone calls Sabina to tell the when the abuelita die and Sabina have to tell to the dad. Ooh, that's gonna be so hard.
Wait, about your grandpa?
Yeah.
Cuando se murió la mamita, our grandma.
Yeah. I mean, is that the question you're asking though? Because I've dealt with that too.
I changed it a little bit because it was about men holding, more control over women, but now I changed it into holding a certain piece of information and he withheld it. He didn't tell her. But I'm also saying I've gotten the call from my dad about people passing and I can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
When he knows something that I don't, and I can hear his voice cracking.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the situation, but I feel it's worse on the person that puts that on the other person, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I think if you're not listening, and you listen, the person really...
No, I couldn't understand.
You couldn't understand what I meant?
No.
So, for example, I received the news that my niece passed away, and I had to be that person. I should not have been that person.
To tell your parents.
To tell my parents.
It's the same situation we're talking about.
So, what I was trying to say is that the person that did that should have directly talked to my parents, and that person put me in a situation So, that's what I'm trying to say. The person that in my eyes is always at a fault in a way. I guess this is a different situation, but yeah.
No, so yeah, you got placed with
pressure,
weight, a very big, heavy piece of information, right? I'm surprised that the guy didn't tell his wife. That's kind of what I'm also leading into. I wonder what happened he didn't tell her.
Maybe it was critical. Or something, and he didn't want her to know, or maybe there's so many things.
Anyways, you guys can write in the comments what you think about that topic, because it is very sad and
leave us
on
a high
lot of people. And then the last one, can you put a scary one? Because this is actually a scary today.
Okay,
just very quick, and then we'll end the episode. Okay, many haunted houses have been investigated and found to contain high levels of carbon monoxide or other poisons, which can cause hallucinations. The carbon monoxide theory explains why haunted houses are mostly older houses, which are more likely to contain aging and defective appliances that release carbon monoxide. And so What that leads into is a lot of ghosts and a lot of visions people see inside of haunted houses are usually caused by the house, like the actual house, releasing carbon monoxide and leading to hallucinations.
But do we believe that?
I believe it.
You believe it?
You believe in ghosts?
Me? Do I believe in ghosts?
Yes.
I don't think. There was a very, I want you guys to know, there was a guy who on Reddit found post-it notes all around his house. And he tried to figure out,
Oh, that's kind of scary.
He tried to figure out who did it. And eventually he found out that it was himself writing notes to himself.
Oh my God.
Why? He had a carbon monoxide leak in his house and he was trying to inform himself that it was going on. And writing notes to his himself, he kept losing his memory. And it was him writing to his future self, warning himself.
Wow.
So when I hear things like that, I believe the haunted house carbon monoxide thing. Because it's brain altering. You can it changes the way you see things.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Let's say all three of us go into a haunted house.
We're not going to hallucinate the same thing.
That's the thing. So that's kind of, but then you get out and both of you saw the same thing. So what's the, because that tends to be a scary story.
Let me just say Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you hear someone scream and run, you'll scream and run. Usually one of them's like, oh, did you see that? Oh, no, but I heard you run and I ran with you. All right. Or like I did too, I could say, but I didn't. I'm listening to you and I'm reacting to the other person. Usually it's just one person that sees something and the group reacts. But that's just my thought process.
So I don't know if I fully believe that one, because I do think it's interesting when people leave a haunted house and both people see the same thing or experience the same thing.
Okay. That's actually very good. I like that. That's a very contrarian way to see things.
Oh God.
I appreciate that. Well, today we had an extra long episode. We talked about a heck of a lot of things. Martha Stewart came up many times. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you guys. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Debbie, thank you for being here.
No problem. I love to be here and talk with you guys.
Hit me with that intro, outro music.
I got you. We here for you, man. The DJ.
Bye.